You came in with some Minaj, huh?
You know, I got over the bobs. Everything's pink over here. Sign pink, microphone pink, jacket pink. Oh, my hair just not pink, but I got a little pink tint, got a little pink, you know. Anyway, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Pretty Spectacular Football Show, where all we do is talk about football and football and football, which I'm not complaining. And neither is he. I'm Pretty Girl Daz, and that over there is Dr. Spec, and we are in it. Welcome back to our show. Did y'all miss us? Yeah. I miss y'all, though.
Yeah. Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did.
So as you know, I don't like the sarcasm over there, but you know, anyway, y'all know that the Super Bowl just wrapped up, Super Bowl 58, in a overtime like battle to the death. So it was a great game. I can say that. I was a little nervous at first. And the Kansas City Chiefs pulled out a win 25-22 against the San Francisco 49ers. Bang, bang, Niner gang. And they were really mad and really upset. The watch party I went to was lit. I was lit. And yeah, what you thought about it?
Oh, man, I thought it was a phenomenal game. I mean, just all the angst of a heavyweight fight. All the stuff that you expect when you put two great teams together and they're going blow for blow all the way to the end. Talk about an overtime Super Bowl. I grew up at a time where Super Bowls may be blowouts. During the time where the 49ers were going to the Super Bowl all the time, those were blowouts. Boom, boom, blowouts, right? But this going into overtime, showing you just the, you know, parity of the league. I mean, it's remarkable. Like, it was a remarkable game. And just an emotionally draining situation. I couldn't imagine being a fan of one of those two teams. I just couldn't.
What was funny to me is that, like, Kansas City won this, and they have literally probably the worst offense that they've ever had in a very long time. So the fact that they came in, and I mean, everybody knows, like, Patrick Mahomes is literally like the comeback kid. Like, he does not fold under pressure. And once he kicked that into gear, especially in that fourth quarter, it was over with. Like, and I thought another thing was funny was how the 49ers, some of the players or whatever, were just saying, like, they didn't know the Super Bowl or the playoff OT rules. And it's like, you're walling. Your preparation is key. And then on the flip side, they said that Andy Reid and the Chiefs coaching staff got them ready just in case something like an OT situation would happen. Because they knew coming in there, like, the 49ers was covering the spread at one point. So they knew that they kind of were the underdogs in the situation. But it's always like, it's the Chiefs. The Chiefs always find their way back home to the win. But what I didn't like is, as you see on our screen, it says Kelce acting up. He was acting up on that sideline, man. He was mad. I think it was Pacheco had a fumble, and they were supposed to get a touchdown, and he was just over the line going crazy. And I just feel like his response at the end addressing it was more like, you know, I just was telling him I love him, and I'm like, you're lying, bro. Like, you may tell a joke, but you seem to be telling a lie right now. So, I mean, I just felt that it was just – anybody else probably would have been benched. But, I mean, again, they also didn't need him because he did come in clutch, you know. But it was just disrespectful. And I do feel like even though he may have felt that he didn't have to say an apology or something or address it, I feel like he still should have somewhat addressed it better than what he addressed it as. Like, oh, I'm just telling him I love him and things like that. Because that does not scream, I love you, coach. So
it doesn't. It's so funny. He came back on the on the Kelce show, like him with the show with him and his brother. And he definitely apologized, said he went over the line. Said, you know, he really, you know, went over there to tell him, you know, I could score there, right? I feel there is a thing that happens when somebody knows, like, in the pit of their gut, they know they're the biggest weapon you have, right? Like they know without me, this ship will not run. Like, period. Like they know that I'm the driving force, even though towards the end of the season, they leaned on Pacheco a little bit more, as evidenced by my, you know, by my fantasy football loss, where he couldn't get any points. But I mean, I was up by 20, but he could have just gotten me a few points anyway. So, so Kelce has disappeared at points.
He has.
Yeah, he really has. And so it's not the fact that he is the only weapon. Patrick Mahomes can still get it done, apparently, even when he's not on his A game. But at the end of the day, you want Kelce on his A game. I don't like him yelling at the coach. He did feel like he had the right. But for some reason, and you tell me if maybe I'm wrong with this, I feel like, okay, when I was growing up, me and my dad would box a lot. And we would box out in the open. You feel what I'm saying? And we would be at church events and preachers would, you know, want to stop us. But, hey, y'all cut that out. Y'all cut that out. Because they don't know our relationship and they don't know how we get down. But my pastor knew. So he would go to them and be like, hey, man, they're okay. They that's how they play. Right. That's what they do. And so, like, it would look bad because, like, I'd punch my dad in the face. Right. And so it would look bad to everybody else. You feel me? I mean, he punched me right back, but like it would look bad to everybody else. Like it would look bad to everybody else. But to us, we knew what the deal was. And the people who knew us, we knew what the deal was. And I wonder if it is that type of situation with them, because you've seen him, Andy Reid, come up and shove Kelce. If you don't remember.
And even at the end, like it wasn't Kelce, but it was another player where he was on the ground and he came in like and was like shaking him a little bit. And again, like I understand all that, and it could be because he wasn't phased. He was literally like the dad that was like, "Get out my face!" That was like I'm focusing on the game. You go be mad. Go cry over there. Come talk to me when you're ready. Type of thing. Like he didn't go after him. He didn't yell back. He didn't do like his composure was very much like, "This is my child. He does this all the time. I'm not worried about it." Type of situation. But of course, it's always like, dude. There's a time, place for everything. I mean, in that situation, it's never a time and a place. But I mean, we've seen that Kelce has gotten emotional more than once. So I'm pretty sure Andy Reid was like, "Go ahead, my child, come back to me when your head's on straight."
Andy went over to him and was like, "Hey, yo, they got cameras on me everywhere, bro. Like, you can't do that all the time like that in public." Like,
dad, like, you know, you act up at Walmart, it's like, get over there. You know, like my mom used to talk through her teeth. I don't know, like that's a skill. You know? Like my dog used to be outside just running around in the street like he was crazy. Like, if you don't get over here right now,
right?
You know,
right?
They'll love to say you abuse a dog. But I mean, I'm glad that he actually went on his show and said something. I mean, could have been at the post game conference, sure. But as long as it was addressed, then you know it's cool. But then I do think that it was kind of like Andy Reid was like, "Yo, you my child," and I think he kind of forgot, like, you know how you have a lapse of judgment for a second, like he probably forgot where he was at for a second, and he was like, "I'm not gonna act up with you because I could put you on your
place."
Let's talk about something else that was heating up and got people talking about the Super Bowl, and as Usher's performance. Obviously we all know what it was, we're not gonna keep going through it and everything. He negotiated 15 minutes for the show. Normally everybody gets 13. So he was like, I need that 2 extra minutes. But to me, I felt like 5. I felt like he was up there. And by the time I blinked twice, he was gone. I'm like, come on now. I blinked once and his shirt was off. I blinked again. He was done.
I blinked once and his shirt was off. I blinked twice. He's violating somebody's marriage. And then I blink again and he got the all of ATL on the stage.
Okay. ATL's popping up there.
I loved it.
I loved it too. I feel like Jermaine Dupri. I mean, I understand his socks were like, were they Louis Vuitton or something? But I feel like he could have put on something else. Everyone said like he looked like Baby Boss, and he did. He was Baby Bossing it up. He was like, I'm the boss, Baby Boss. You know, and he already small. He already like short in stature. So like, why would you want to look even shorter?
He accomplished it. He got it done. He did look shorter.
If that was what he wanted to do, he accomplished it. Little John. He looked like Little John. He was small, frail. I'm like, who's that man up there? And I was like, hold on, I know that voice though.
Mm-hmm.
That's Little John. He looks good though. He looks healthy. Yeah. I mean, he's smaller and frail, but he looked healthy. Like normally his beard look all scruffy and stuff. He looks good. He looks great. So I was happy to see it. I was really happy to see Jackson State, the Sonic Boom.
Let's go.
You know, we started talking about they banned like majority of the season. So that was great to see. Had opportunity.
I like that. I did like the fact that Okay, I'm gonna tell you something. Whenever a HBCU band performs at the Super Bowl halftime, it always feels good for that school, but feels a little weird for everybody else, right? Because in this moment, you gotta be happy for just the fact that we're here, right? Like, okay, it's not Grambling because you know when it was Beyonce, it's Grambling, and she's a bigger star. But either way, when you look know? At this, you have to
the shade and then to move on. Okay.
Yeah. When you look at this, you have to congratulate Jackson State for what they were able to do in that moment. I was very happy for them. I mean, it should have been Clark Atlanta, you know what I mean?
I was just about to say that, like, should have been,
yeah.
I think because he brought Atlanta to Vegas, it should have been it should have been an Atlanta school, right? Because, like, that just would have wrapped, and then, like, a D2 school at that, like, would have really been. The cake, or even like Morehouse.
It could have been the only problem with either Clark or Morehouse is that when you really compare those two to Jackson State, this gonna get me in trouble, man. Their levels.
Okay, okay, but I have a question.
Their levels.
I got another question. So.
Yeah.
What? This is going to get me in trouble. Would Southern have been a better option?
Southern over Jackson State. It's tough because Jackson State, if you remember, I think Jackson State won the Band of the Year thing. They were in that competition. They were at least in the Band of the Year competition. And so if you go to Band of the Year right before the Celebration Bowl, I believe Jackson State was there. And if that's the case, then we're looking at one of the best bands in the land. And Jackson State really has been that. They really are best bands, period. And because they are really good. If you ever went to a game, the atmosphere that they set at those games are remarkable. And so you can either go with Southern or Jackson State. Either one of those bands are really, really good. So, yeah, you know,
of course,
if you
chose Jackson State, I'm
cool with it. Jackson State would be closer, right? So maybe that's why let me see. Which one's closer to Vegas? Well, that don't really matter. He chose Jackson State.
Neither, actually.
Yeah, they're both really, really far. So yeah. Him choosing Jackson State, I can understand why.
Yeah, I mean,
the best bands in the land.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, credit to them. I was super happy when I saw that. And then, of course, like, it just correlated with the colors that he had as well, with all that diamond-studded Swarovski crystal stuff up there. I didn't know what he transforming was. I don't know what it was, but I just went with it. I'm like, it's Usher, and he know the vision, so I'm here. I'm just here to support.
Dad, can I tell you something? I kept thinking, Usher, please don't fall on them skates, bro. Please don't fall on these skates. Like,
I should say, I'm from the A. I know how to skate.
Boy, like, look, I just kept seeing him fall and there being some type of awkwardness because you can't fall on skates.
Not on skates. Unless you go down into, like, you fall and you go into, like, one of them split glides.
Right, right.
And then, like, tumble around, do the rumble and tumble. You know what the Migos say? You get the bag of fumble, I get the bag of flip it and tumble it.
Right. You just can't do it cool.
Yeah.
So I'm happy he did.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I just love the whole bringing the culture and it was so much going on. And I loved it because there was so much going on in a way, you know?
I loved it.
So the production was great.
If you gave him a grade, what would it be? If 0 to 100.
Oh, I thought we was on like A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
It's going to correlate. And the mother grades, I'm not sure about the G.
So I feel like he did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of it in some points, because it was so much going on, it was a little rushed. So I'm gonna give it a 90.
Okay, okay.
Only because a lot of fans had seen his residency show, and I get it was a much longer stint of time.
Yeah.
But I also feel as though Nicki Minaj should have been on that stage because they got one of the best hits that there is. And Alicia Keys did not do well with that first note screech that the NFL had to edit out.
He did not do great with that first note. However, after that, she was on.
She was on. She looked great. Her red dress and all that was very beautiful and everything. I just felt like I said, the performance was great. It was amazing. But I just felt like we could have gotten a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm with you.
That's just my opinion on it. But
no, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. No, I'm sorry. I'm with you 90%. But yeah. I'm gonna give him a 95. He gave all the feelings that you want to have when you see one of the greatest performers ever do their thing. Like every bit of the feels, I wanted all the hits. He gave me the hits, right? I wanted the guest appearances. He gave me all of that. I wanted him to do something risky, and he did with the skates and all the stuff, right? Alicia Keys, she gave me the flowy red thing or whatever that was. I'm not sure. Which was cool, right? So he gave me all the feels, and I wanted all the feelings, and I went through that. Now some of those songs, some of my favorite songs, he cut real short.
That's what I'm saying. Like some of them, I was like, darn.
Yeah.
I just started just singing, and he didn't turn the song.
Right.
Can we go back? Yeah.
Right. And I'm with you on that. Okay, if I gave it to him, you said 90, I say 95. Overall, I think an A performance, so that's really good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and before we move on, though, I do want to give a shout-out to two other really good performances in the past couple years that I thought were phenomenal. Mm. So the one where it was, like, Dr. Dre.
Oh, yeah. 50, that might Eminem, be like, one of my best.
When I say that they literally used every bit of their time, and it really was a... It was a production. Like, I felt like I could see all the transitions when Mary J was up on the top and, you know, she did her thing, you know, whatever she be doing, and then twinkled it down. Like your eyes were consistently moving. You had all the feels and you had everything all at once. So, like, if Usher would have had a little bit more of that, then I probably would have been at 100. Outside of him cutting some of my favorite songs short.
I'm with that. I'm with you. I'm with you.
And the second one, they're the best to me.
I'm one of the best to me.
Yes. And the second one that I would say that I really enjoyed, and some people may not agree with this, is when The Weeknd did his, and he started off in that the mirror thing. And he started right up in front of, the camera. And he started out with his, at that time, I think it was one of his current hits. So like, so I know you'll be the best of me. Nah, 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 nah. And then like, he just went and like manipulated the camera. And then all of a sudden you see a rush of people. Like it just gave something completely different that we had never really seen in a very long time. And I liked it, their production, like how they started in a box and then went out of the box. And then like was all around the box, it was like a whole bunch of stuff going on, and I love that. So those are two of my favorites in the past recent like couple years.
I'm gonna cut it short with you. I'll follow you on the Dr. Dre joint. I thought that was incredible, so I don't even got it. Yeah. I amen everything you said about that. but I can't amen what you said about The Weeknd. I did like The Weeknd, but it was okay. Like, it was good, but I mean, it fails in comparison to me to Bruno Mars and Beyonce. Like, that was crazy. And I loved every single bit of that halftime performance. That one trumps The Weeknd for me. I did like his concept, but he got trumped to me, you know, with that one for me.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like because we've seen Beyonce's performance by herself before, like, it was a great performance. It's always a great performance. Them two are a great performance in itself. But I wanted more of a, when Bruno, like, when I think of Bruno, I don't think Beyonce. You know, following his artistry.
Yeah.
But again, it was good. Like, it maybe wasn't one of my favorites at the time because, like, you know, but that's cool. That's fine. We're going to move on.
Let's pay some bills.
Okay. Yeah. So are we taking a break right now?
Let's do the break.
All right. Well, normally I got a better smooth one into our sponsor shout out, but I don't. So, because it is Pink Friday, I'm going to call out Ozell Brennan to make me something pink if he wants more shout-outs here. But, as you know, it's not just a brand. It's a lifestyle. So, shout-out to our sponsor, and we'll be right back after this.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace and knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand. It's a lifestyle.